بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. ما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So today's lesson number 57 in our series on أعلام سنة المنشورة with the commentary of various مشايخ. And in the previous lesson we looked at from the affairs that will take place or which exist on يوم القيامة is the Hawd, which is the drinking pool of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we established in that previous lecture that the scholars have given importance to this topic for a number of reasons. From them is that this is from the matters of the unseen, it is from ilmul ghaib, and in relation to those affairs we meet them with acceptance and submission, even if our intellects do not fully comprehend the reality of these things. Secondly, because this is an issue that's come to us by way of tawatur, which is large-scale, overwhelming transmission, so it is a firmly established affair from the affairs of belief. And thirdly, because there are from the misguided groups who have deviated on this issue, and specifically there are the Mu'tazila who deny it on rational grounds, on grounds of reason as they claim, and there are the Khawarij and the Rafida, and they don't deny the Hawd in principle, but they deny some things that follow on from that in relation to the companions, because they both make takfir of the companions either in whole or in part, and so therefore they are in denial about some aspects or some ahadith in that respect, or they misinterpret certain ahadith in that respect. So at the end of it we finished by from Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh just giving some advice on how does a person ensure that he's able to drink from the drinking pool of Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And from the things that he mentioned was obviously keeping away from innovation and keeping away from major sin, because in the view of some scholars that even major sin can cause you to be repelled from the drinking pool. So that's the way we finished in the previous lesson. So continuing today, so that ended the topic of the Hawd. And that was in a series of topics all related, which are part and parcel of belief in the Day of Judgment. So continuing today, we go to question number 129. And so this now is the topic of paradise and hellfire. So he says, مَا دَلِيلُ الْإِيمَانِ بِالْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. What is the evidence for belief in paradise and hellfire? And the Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi rahimahullah, he says, قال الله تعالى, Allah the Exalted, he said, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Fear the fire whose fuel is men and stones prepared for the disbelievers. And give glad tidings to those who believe and do righteous deeds, that they will have gardens beneath which rivers flow. Al-Ayah wa ghiruha ma la yuhsa. So he said, and there are other ayat which cannot be enumerated in this respect. Then he says, wa fi sahih min du'a'i nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi salati al-layl, and in the Sahih al-Bukhari, from the supplication made by the Prophet ﷺ in the Salatul Layl. And he would say, وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ, to you belongs the praise, أَنْتَ الْحَقُّ, you are the truth, وَوَعْدُكَ الْحَقِّ Your promise is true. وَلِقَاؤُكَ حَقِّ Meeting you, the meeting with you is true. وَقَوْلُكَ حَقِّ Your speech is true. وَالْجَنَّةُ حَقِّ Paradise is true, meaning true and real. وَالنَّارُ حَقِّ Hellfire is true and real. وَالنَّبِيُّونَ حَقِّ The prophets are true. Muhammad is haqq, he is true. وَالسَّاعَةُ حَقِّ And the hour is true, meaning true and real. Al-Hadith, to the end of the Hadith. وَقَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Likewise, he's saying, صلى الله عليه وسلم من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله Whoever testifies that there is none worthy worship but Allah and alone without any partners and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger وأن عيسى عبد الله ورسوله and that عيسى is the servant of Allah and his messenger وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم and his word whom he sent to Maryam, وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ and a spirit from him, وَالْجَنَّةُ حَقَّ وَالنَّارُ حَقَّ and that paradise is true and hellfire is true. أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْأَمَلِ Allah will enter him into paradise no matter what action he was upon. أَخْرَجَاهُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ من أبواب الجنة الثمانية أيها شاء. And in another version, it occurs that he will enter through any of the eight doors or gates of paradise that he wills. So, regarding this, Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he says that these are evidences which indicate the existence of paradise. And the existence of hellfire. وَأَنَّهُمَا مَوْجُودَتَانِ الْآنِ And that they are both in existence right now. And that paradise and hellfire were both created before the creation of this world, this universe, this heavens and the earth. And he says, وَخَلَقَ لِكُلٍ مِّنْهُمَا أَهْلًا فأهل الجنة يعملون بعمل أهل الجنة ويسيرون لعمل أهل الجنة وأهل النار يعملون بعمل أهل الجنة ويسيرون ويسرون لعمل أهل النار والعياذ بالله. So he says that each of the two have been created and people have been created for them. So the people of paradise, they will do the deeds of the people of paradise and that will be facilitated for them. And the people of hellfire will do the deeds of the people of hellfire and that will be facilitated for them. وَالْإِيَّاذُ بِاللَّهِ And refugees from Allah. Likewise, he says, وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ He said, work, for indeed everyone will be facilitated for that for which he has been created. Then he goes on to say that the paradise, وَالْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُسْكِنَ فِيهَا آدَمُ هِيَ عَلَى الصَّحِيحِ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي يَسْكُنُهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ As for the paradise that we believe in, the one in which Adam alayhi salam was in, upon the correct view, it is the same one that the believers will inhabit, upon the correct view. And there is, the Sheikh was on said that there is a difference about this. وَالْخِلَافُ فِيهَا حَاسِلْ وَلَكِنَّ هَذَا هُوَ الْقَوْلُ الْحَقِّ Right, so meaning that there are scholars who have differed on this issue, as to which paradise is it, which paradise is it and where is it? Is it the eternal paradise that Adam was in and that the believers will be in that same eternal paradise? So the scholars say that which is correct is yes, it is. Although there are some other views, but this view is the correct. فَالْجَنَّةُ دَارُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالنَّارُ دَارُ الْكَافِرِينَ So this paradise is the abode of the believers and hellfire is the abode of the people of disbelief. Then there is some speech Again, some lengthy speech from Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, Hafizahullah, and this is taken from his commentary on At-Tahawiyyah, where again this issue of belief in paradise and hellfire is mentioned. And Sheikh goes on to say here that paradise is present today, just as hellfire is present today. And the asal, the issue that applies here is the same as what we spoke about previously, which is that these are from the affairs of the unseen, and also because there are sects which have spoken in this issue of paradise and hellfire. Are they eternal? Are they temporary? Will they expire? Will they not expire? These are issues that scholars and likewise various sects have spoken in, and for that reason it's important, and that's why these issues are mentioned in the affairs of creed, so that a person of the sunnah has the correct belief and the correct knowledge regarding these important issues of belief. So he goes on to say that the people of the sunnah, they mention affairs of the unseen, which it is obligatory to believe in, and they indicate, and then they mention what the texts indicate. So whatever the text indicates, whatever the evidence shows from the Quran and the sunnah, we are then obligated to believe in it, to accept it, to submit it, submit to it. And this is why they make a point to mention these affairs in the books of creed, so as to oppose the people of the misguided sects. Now this issue, the issue of the creation of paradise and hellfire, and that paradise will remain eternally, and that hellfire will remain eternally, and that paradise and hellfire will not expire, this is an issue that some of the sects, like the Jahmiyya, they spoke about, and we will come to their views, inshallah, shortly to show the things that they said or the things that they denied. Now, the reason why this question came up is because it's to do with Allah's attributes and His actions, and it's to do with creation and causes and the effects, and Allah's actions, right? Because Allah is eternal, and Allah is one who has a will, and He does actions according to His will. And so the existence of paradise and hellfire, and Allah rewarding and punishing, He's the one who rewards and punishes, then it has, and that's tied to His mercy and His anger and His mercy and His reward and His anger and His punishment, then this is connected to the issue of Allah's attributes. And so for that reason, it's received a certain discussion, because some of these sects who had mistakes in the issue of Allah's names and attributes, they also spoke on the issue of paradise and hellfire, and whether they are eternal or not, and whether they will expire or not, and whether the punishment or reward will cease or not. And so, in this respect, this is what the Sheikh is going to discuss. And one of the reasons why mistakes were made was because some of these groups, they try to make analogies for what is unseen on the basis of what is seen. So they try to, on the premise that whatever we see in this world, and whatever we know as justice and injustice, and whatever we, and so on, they believe that the same has to apply to Allah's actions, meaning Allah's actions are to be judged by the notions of justice and injustice, and what is befitting, what is not befitting, in accordance to what's experienced in the life of this world. So they analogized for Allah's actions through the actions of men. And that's one aspect of the mistake that they made. And likewise, from the angle of Allah's attributes and His actions, because it's connected to that topic. Likewise, they fell into mistakes from that angle as well. So we cannot analogize for the unseen on the basis of the seen, nor can we analogize for Allah's actions on the basis of human actions. We cannot do these things, because then we will start falling or entering, we will fall into mistakes. Now the Shaykh goes on to say that first of all, the issue of the existence of paradise and hellfire, this is something that the Quran and the Sunnah have clearly indicated that they are true and they are real and that they exist right now, meaning that they will not be created in the future or whatever, they exist right now. From the evidences, Allah Azza wa Jal, He said in the Quran, addressing Adam, وَيَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجَكَ الْجَنَّةِ فَكُلَا, to the end of the ayah. O Adam, live or reside you and your wife in paradise and eat therefrom. So clearly, this paradise, which is the eternal paradise, which will never expire after it was created, then a person will be there forever. And here Allah described the paradise and asked Adam to enter the paradise. So clearly it exists before and after Adam was created. So that proves that it is created. Likewise, he says, as occurs in Surah An-Najm, in a series of ayat, that with him is Jannatul Ma'wa, in which he said, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةٌ أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى. So he said, and he saw, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةٌ, then he saw him another time by سِدْرَةُ الْمُنْتَهَى, and with him عِنْدَهَا, by which is جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى, عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى. So here it's mentioned جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى, another clear evidence that paradise exists, and this was on the occasion of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. So, this is another proof. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was also shown the Ash-Shajaratul Mal'una, which is like the cursed tree, the tree that will be the food for the people of disbelief. And he said in the ayah in Surah Al-Isra, he said, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرِنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَالشَّجَرَةَ الْمَلْعُونَةَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, that we did not make the ru'ya, the vision that you saw, that we showed you, except as a tribulation for men and the cursed tree mentioned in the Qur'an. And so when this was described to the pagan Arabs, they thought az-zaqum is just simply something referring to when you mix dates with butter, and it's like some sort of food like that. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He replied in some other ayat, inna shajarat az-zaqum ta'amul athim kal-muhli yaghli fil butun kaghalyil hamim. Indeed, the tree of Zaqum is the food for the sinful, and it is like, it is something like boils in the bellies, like boiling, scalding water. So there are many ayat which are similar to this, the point being that all of these ayat indicate the existence of paradise and hellfire and their bliss or punishment respectively. And also from the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also have other evidences. From them is the hadith in which it is mentioned that the spirit of the believer is in paradise, such as the hadith nasamatul mu'min ta'irun ya'laqu min thimaril jannah, that the soul or spirit of a believer is like a tree that is, you know, it attaches or it goes by the fruits in paradise, like the fruits of trees in paradise. And likewise, when he said about the shuhada, the martyrs, أرواح الشهداء في جوف طير خضر تحوي إلى قناديل إلى قناديل معلقة تحت العرش في الجنة. That the souls of the martyrs are in the interiors of birds, like green birds, which hang off like these lanterns off the of the throne in paradise. So, likewise, another ayah regarding the shuhada, he says about them, بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبِشْرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلِيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That they are alive with their Lord, being provided for, rejoiceful for that which Allah has given to them from His bounty, and receiving glad tidings of those who have not yet joined with them, from those who have left behind them, that there shall be no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. So these ayat are just a small selection of many, many ayat establishing the existence and reality of paradise and hellfire. And the Shaykh goes on to say there are many, many ayat which are similar. So once we've established this much, that paradise, hellfire are true and real, and that they exist, and this topic is important because of these connections to Allah's attributes and errors made by certain groups like the Jahmiyyah and others, the Mu'tazila, then once that's clear, then there are a number of masail, a number of issues that help us to have the right belief in this issue, in this issue of paradise and hellfire. So the first issue we've already mentioned, that they exist, they are true and real, and they exist right now, that they've already been created, they are not dependent, they will not be created on the Day of Judgment. And this is the nature of paradise and hellfire. When Allah Azza wa Jal sent His Prophet, and likewise before that, they were already created. No one knows when specifically Allah created them, but He created them before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, before creating the men. This is indicated by the ayah that we mentioned before, Ya Adam uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah, O Adam, live or reside you and your wife in paradise. And so when it says al-jannah, then it means the jannah already mentioned, which is the eternal paradise. That's the first thing we already mentioned. That's the first issue, first mas'ala. The second mas'ala now that we come to, important issue, is that they do not perish. That paradise and hellfire do not perish. And they were created to remain forever. Paradise, hellfire. This is what is actually indicated by the Quran and by the Sunnah, that the people of paradise will remain therein forever, and the people of hellfire will remain therein forever. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said regarding the fire, يَسْأَلُكَ النَّاسِ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. They ask you, the people ask you concerning the hour. Say, the knowledge of it is with Allah, and what will inform you perhaps that the hour is close. إن الله لعن الكافرين وأعد لهم سعيرا خالدين فيها أبدا لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا. Indeed, Allah's la'an curses upon the kafirin, and He has prepared for them a sa'ira, a burning blazing fire. Remaining therein forever, they will not find any wali, any protector, ولا نصيرا, لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا, neither any wali, a protector, nor any aider or helper. And likewise, regarding paradise, there are many ayat which are similar, which mention the abadiyya, the eternal, never-ending nature of paradise, that the one who enters it will remain there forever. So this is something that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are united upon. that paradise and hellfire are created to remain forever. Now, the Shaykh goes on to say that when we speak about the hellfire, we are speaking about the jinns, like meaning the genus of hellfire. Why? Because there is a view among some scholars that some part of the fire will actually expire. And this is the fire that is used to punish the believers, the muwahideen. Once every believer is taken out of hellfire, after being punished for his sins, the people of Tawheed, who have the smallest speck of iman, that fire, which is the lightest fire, will expire. So there are some scholars who hold that view, and so they say that when we speak of the fire, we are not speaking, you know, we are speaking of the jinns, the genus of the fire, because the fire itself has levels. So after that, the Shaykh goes on to say that now we come to the views that are held by certain groups or certain sects which oppose the belief we have just established. And from those views, the first of those views is that they say that paradise and hellfire will end at a certain time, and the people of paradise will remain in whatever bliss or punishment they had without it being renewed. What this means is that paradise and hellfire will eventually end and perish, and the punishment and reward will stop. Right? This is the view of some groups. And the reason why they say this, why do they say this? They have a strange reason to say this, which goes back to philosophy, the influence of philosophy. And basically, they say that everything that has motion, everything that has motion that commenced, then it has to end at some point, right? This is going back to Greek philosophy and, you know, the things they speculated about the creator, or what they believed to be behind the universe, the prime mover, the unmoved mover, the first cause. This is all philosophical things. And they introduced that into various aspects of belief that connect to Allah's names and attributes, and therefore to his punishment and reward. So they said that everything that begins to have motion, then it must also come to an end. It must also come to an end. And so therefore, in this case, paradise and hellfire and the motions therein of reward and punishment and the motions of the people of hellfire in paradise, they will come to an end, which means that reward and punishment must come to an end, and after that, paradise and hellfire must also expire. It must finish. Now, it's important for you to note at this point the angle from which they are saying this, right? The angle from which they are saying this is from the angle of this philosophical, to do with al-haraka was-sukoon, motion and rest, which are attributes that belong to created bodies, right? They're coming from this philosophical angle. The reason why I mention this is because later on, we are going to discuss some views of some Muslim scholars who, from a different angle, presented a view that hellfire may cease. Right? But that's from a different angle compared to this one. So you must make a distinction, take note of this, so that we don't confuse the two, right? So, the Shaykh goes on to say that, therefore, on this view, the people of paradise and hellfire will not be eternally punished or rewarded. They will come to an end, and there will come a point where hellfire becomes stationary, and all the people of hellfire become stationary, meaning like they freeze like this, and it just stops. Likewise with paradise, right? That's their view. And this view is from the, you know, it's from the Jahmiyyah. The Jahmiyyah, they stated this view, and those like them. The second view, that is a misguided view, is that they say that hellfire and paradise will remain, they will remain, but the reward and the punishment therein will be cut off. They'll be cut off, it will stop. So the reward and punishment is not forever. And then after that, Allah will do whatever He wishes with paradise and hellfire. Now, what's the reason here? Why do they say this? The reason they say is, and this comes back down to the issue I mentioned earlier, which is that some people, they try to analogize the actions of men in this world and impose those analogies upon Allah's actions, that Allah must act in the same way. So what they say here is, they say, how can a small amount of good deeds that a person did in a short span of his life of 60, 70, 80 years, and he prayed and fasted and did good deeds, and that's like a very minuscule amount, how can he receive an eternity of never-ending bliss and reward for that small, amount of good deeds? This is not fair. And conversely, how can someone who did a relatively small amount of evil in his short life, in the life of this world, how can he be punished eternally, you know, for that? This cannot be right. This does not agree with al-adl, with justice, right? And so therefore, they say that the punishment and the reward will stop at some point which is equal, in their view, to the reward for their deeds and their actions. And then it must stop. And paradise and hellfire will remain, but the reward and punishment will stop. Right? This is what they say. And likewise, there are other statements as well, but these are the two significant statements that we should be aware of. And all of this opposes the statement of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And again, we don't need to go into the reasons, because as we said, Allah's attributes, Allah's names, Allah's actions, and the notion of justice is not our sense of justice. It is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, this is not comprehended or fathomed by men. And that which we know from the revelation, Allah will not punish a soul more than what he deserves. The people of Tawheed will all leave the hellfire and enter into paradise once they have been cleansed of their sins, and if Allah hasn't already forgiven them, and if the calamities of the life, the worldly life, haven't already expiated them, and if they haven't already sought forgiveness for them and made tawbah from them. There are many ways and means by which a believer can be purified of his sins in the life of this world, and the difficulties in the grave and the difficulties of the hereafter. This is from the mercy of Allah. It's very hard for a believer to reach Allah on the Day of Judgment, not having had the opportunities to repent and make tawbah, and the calamities that expiate his sins. It's very difficult for a believer to reach the Day of Judgment and still have sins. Meaning Allah has made it easy for us if we strive for that. And conversely, for the people of disbelief and hypocrisy, there are levels of hellfire. It's not all the same level. There are different levels of hellfire. The people of hypocrisy, Nifaq, the Munafiqun, they have the lowest depth of hellfire, and then there are other levels as well. No one will be dealt with unjustly, each according to his deed, and any good that any disbeliever did, he will be recompensed in the life of this world. Even any injustices that were done to him in the life of this world, even through a Muslim or by a Muslim, then he will be recompensed for that as well. So there's no injustice for anybody. So the statement of the people of the Sunnah is well known, that paradise and hellfire are created, they are forever, they will not perish. And the Shaykh goes on to say, he mentions some texts that prove this from the Sunnah. And there's a famous hadith of how on the Day of Judgment, يُعْتَى يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ بِالْمَوْتِ عَلَىٰ حِيَأَةِ كَبَشٍ فَيُذْبَهُ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ ثُمَّ يُنَادِي الْمُنَادِي يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ خُلُودٌ فَلَا مَوْتِ وَيَا أَهْلَ النَّارِ خُلُودٌ فَلَا مَوْتِ. Hadith, on the Day of Judgment, death will be brought in the form of a ram, and it will be sacrificed in between a place between paradise and hellfire. Then a caller will call, O people of paradise, eternity without any death. O people of hellfire, eternity without any death. So here it is explicitly stated that it is, you know, for eternity, and that they will remain. And likewise, in the Quran, the words are very clear. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, about paradise. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, about hellfire. And if it's خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they will remain therein forever, remain therein. This refers to a place. And if they will remain therein forever, that means the place also must be forever. Very clear, very explicit proof. It necessitates that paradise and hellfire are for, you know, are for eternity. Now the Shaykh comes on to discuss an issue that I alluded to earlier on. I alluded to this earlier on. And the Shaykh goes on to discuss some views that can be found among the people, some of the people of the Sunnah. And they say that the hellfire from it is that will actually perish, it will come to an end, and Allah will cause it to come to an end. It is Allah will cause it to come to an end. And that is the level of hellfire for the muwahidun, right? The people of Tawheed, from the Muslims. And this is the highest level of the fire, the topmost level of the fire. And that's because the people of Tawheed, they are promised that they will come out of the fire. They will not remain in the hellfire forever. No one who has an atom's weight of iman in his heart will remain in the hellfire. So there will come a day when they will come out of that fire because they have Tawheed, even if that time is prolonged. And then that level of the fire will no longer remain, and Allah will then cause it to expire. Right? So this is ascribed to some of the Salaf. This view here is ascribed to some of the Salaf through certain reports. And maybe those reports, as the Shaykh mentions, that in the Isnad, you know, there is, maybe it is not authentic, or they are da'if. And he mentions one of those statements ascribed to Umar radiallahu anhu. The gist of it is that there will come a day when the people of the fire will come out of the hellfire, and there will be none left. We're speaking about this level of the people of Tawheed. And likewise, he mentions another statement. Right, so this is first statement, right? So this is easy to understand. The level of fire that the believers, the muwahidun, will enter, that will expire. So we can accept this is a view of some of the people of knowledge, right? Another view, which is ascribed to some of the scholars of Al-Sunnah, is that hellfire expiring is a possibility. It's mumkin. Right, now pay attention to the wording here, right, and look at the reasoning why this is said. Right, this is unlike the reasoning of the Jahmiyyah and the two views that we mentioned earlier on, right? One view was that connected to the issue of motion and rest, right? Whatever begins to have motion, it has to come to a rest. This is like the Jahmiyyah. And another notion is, well, punishment and reward cannot be eternal because the deeds done for either of the two were so minuscule and small, right? It's not coming from those two angles. The angle here is, right, so these scholars said that it is mumkin, it is possible, it is plausible to conceive that hellfire might come to an end, and then they say that this is not something that is impossible. It is mumkin, la yamtani, not impossible, right? And they say that this is a statement that is known from Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and others like Ibn al-Qayyim. And again, there's also another debate as to whether this really is the view of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim. That's like another topic altogether. But going along with the Shaykh's explanation, he says that this is a statement known or ascribed to Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim and a group who came before them, and even a group min al-Hadirin, even from the contemporaries. He says that this, what's the basis for this saying? The basis for this saying is that these scholars, they look at the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they see that Allah's attributes can either be eternal, such as Allah's mercy, right? This is an attribute of the essence which is eternal. We say Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He has Rahmah, right? As an attribute of the essence. This is eternal. And likewise, he said, "Anta rahmati arhamu bika man asha." He's speaking about paradise. The paradise is from the effects of Allah's mercy. You, meaning paradise, you are my mercy. I show mercy through you to whomever I will. Now, if Allah's mercy is eternal, because it is an eternal attribute of His, then it follows that paradise must also be eternal, because for Allah to have mercy as an attribute of His essence, which is eternal, then paradise must continue, you know, for eternity. Conversely, Allah's anger, ghadab, this is not an attribute of the essence that is eternal or permanent, like the other attributes like knowledge and hearing and seeing and mercy and wisdom and so on and so forth. Rather, Allah's anger is tied to His will, right? It's tied to His will. And it is from the Allah's chosen actions that when He wills to become angry, then He will become angry. And therefore, Allah's anger is not an attribute that is an eternal attribute, nor does it become like an eternal attribute, because it's tied to His will. And had the effect of Allah's anger been eternal in the same way that the effect of Allah's mercy, meaning paradise, is eternal, then that attribute would also be eternal for Allah. You follow the line of reasoning. The line of reasoning is that there's Allah's attributes and there are the athar of Allah's attributes. There are the effects of Allah's attributes. So because Allah's mercy is an eternal attribute, then the athar, the effects of that mercy, must also be eternal. And so therefore, paradise is eternal, right? The believers will continue receiving Allah's mercy. So if paradise is eternal, that's indicative of Allah's mercy being eternal, because it is an attribute of the essence which is eternal. However, these scholars say, in this line of reasoning, they say that because Allah's anger is not an eternal attribute of the essence, it is tied only to His will, and the athar, the effect and the consequence of that,
If that had been eternal, it would mean Allah's anger is an eternal attribute of the essence as well, not tied to His will. Right? So therefore, they say, on the basis of this reasoning, this means that it is plausible, therefore, for Allah to will for hellfire to come to an end. And they return it back to Allah's will. And so they describe it as a possibility or a plausibility, and not something that is impossible, given what we know about the reality of Allah's attributes, in this case, His mercy and His anger, right? So now, remember I said to you before, we discussed the other two views. This is different to that view, right? To those views, right? And there are some people from the people of misguidance who come along and they accuse Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Al-Qayyim of agreeing with the Jahmiyyah and the other set, but it's not from that angle, right? So we must not make that mistake. We must understand each statement and the angle from which it is being argued, right? One on the basis of Greek philosophy, motion and rest. One on the basis of human notions of what ought to be divine justice in the hereafter. And the third one is actually a discussion emanating from Allah's names and attributes themselves and what they necessitate from either being eternal attributes or being attributes that are tied to His will, but not eternal, you know, with His essence, right? So these are all different areas. And the Sheikh goes on to say that this is like a topic of research. In looking at this matter, this is a mighty issue. And he quotes Ibn al-Qayyim, who says that, I asked Ibn Taymiyyah, سَأَلْتُ Ibn Taymiyyah عَنْهَا فَقَالْ هَذِهِ مَسْأَلَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. He said, I asked Ibn Taymiyyah about this, and he said, this is a mighty issue, meaning it's a very great issue, this issue of this issue that we're discussing. And he goes on to say that Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned the proofs and evidences. He mentioned the evidences of most of the scholars who say that paradise and hellfire are eternal. And likewise, the other evidences as well. At the end of it, he said, فَإِن كُلْتَ إِلَىٰ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ انْتَهَتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ الْعَظِيمَةِ قُلْنَا انْتَهَتْ أَقْدَامُنَا إِلَىٰ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. Right? So Ibn al-Qayyim, in some of his books where he discusses this issue in detail, he brings the evidences of those who say that paradise, hellfire are eternal, will never expire. He brings the evidences for those who say that hellfire will expire, from the angle that we just mentioned. Then he says that if you were to say, where is the end? Where do we, you know, what's the end statement in this issue? What do we say as the final statement in this issue? He says, we say, where we halt at, is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. Indeed, your Lord is the doer of whatever He wills. So he referred it to Allah's will, right? Allah is to do whatever He wills. Meaning that it is plausible, it is not impossible, and we simply say, and we leave it with Allah, the knowledge with Allah, that Allah is to do whatever He wills, right? That's where he left the mas'ala, the great issue. And the Shaykh goes on to say that it's not befitting that we delve into this issue, you know, which is known among the people of knowledge. And in the view of Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh, he's of the view that those people who say that Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim are not of this view, he is not correct in saying that. right? Because this is the view that they ended upon, right? So meaning, even the scholars, when they come to discuss the view of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim, some scholars like Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, they say that this is what they settled upon, this view here. But there are other scholars who disagree with that, and they say, no, there is evidence conclusively in later works of Ibn al-Qayyim, where he establishes the correct view and the view of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, which is the view of the majority of the scholars, right? So this is an issue, as you can see, it's a complex issue. The scholars have discussed these views. And anyhow, that's the second issue, right? First one, Paradise Hellfire already created, already in existence. Second view, they are eternal, they will never perish. And we looked at some of the views of some of the people of misguidance. And the different routes, it's important to understand the different routes through which we come to each of the sayings. We mustn't mix between them. And finally, the third point, the Sheikh says that yes, that paradise is that it was created before this creation. And the proof of that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. We mentioned this ayah before. وَيَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. O Adam, live you and your wife in paradise. So it must have been created before that. And this paradise, so this point, third point is, where is this paradise? Is it somewhere that was on the earth that Adam was sent down from, and it wasn't the eternal paradise? Or was it the eternal paradise from which he was sent down and expelled, and to which the believers will enter into on the Day of Judgment? Which of the two views? The Sheikh says that what is correct is the second view, that it was the eternal paradise that Adam resided in. This is what the evidence actually shows. Now, there are some scholars, which include Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, who were of the view that know that where Adam resided was a garden on this earth somewhere, and he was expelled from that. And then on the Day of Judgment, Adam and the rest and all of mankind, the believers from mankind, they will enter into the eternal paradise. This is the view of Ibn al-Qayyim. And he spent a lengthy discourse on bringing evidences for that. But that which is correct is that the paradise is the eternal paradise that we know that Adam al-Islam was originally in. And the evidences for that, the Sheikh mentions some evidences, very clear evidences, which are quite decisive. From them is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal when he describes this paradise, speaking to Adam alayhi salam, Inna laka alla taju'a fiha wa la ta'ra, wa annaka la tadhma'u fiha wa la tadha. He said, indeed, you will not become hungry therein, nor wa la ta'ra, nor like naked. And that you will not be thirsty therein, nor will you see like the sun, tadha come, you know, and to the end of the passage. So here, it clearly cannot be this earth, because we know that the sun comes and the day and night, and we know that on this earth people can go hungry, and so on and so forth. So clearly these descriptions cannot fit this particular earth or life on this earth, which means that this paradise can only be the eternal paradise, which fits these descriptions. And also from the evidences, although there are many evidences, another evidence he brings is that Allah Azza wa Jal, he said to Adam, ihbita minha, that get down both of you from here, meaning from paradise. And this ihbat and khuruj means that it has to come from a higher place to a lower place. And if it was from a higher part of the earth to the lower part of the earth, then you haven't really been expelled from the earth to another place. You are still on the earth. Which means that this can only be an expulsion from an actual higher place, which is paradise above, to a low place, which is the earth. This is another evidence to establish that it has to be the eternal paradise. Anyhow, These are two of the many evidences. The intent being here, al-maqsood, what is intended here is that paradise and hellfire were created before the creation, and this paradise is one paradise. It is the well-known paradise which is eternal, and it is the paradise that is from the unseen, and this is what all of the evidences indicate. And this brings us to the end of that discussion on this question. So what we'll do is actually we'll conclude our discussion there for today, inshallah. We'll continue with some more of the evidences, what it means to believe in paradise and hellfire, in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll conclude there for today. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.